numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. All proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Midland, producer number nine. Kelly, I can't breathe. What happens if my nose gets so stuffy that I just stop breathing in the middle of this? What happens?
You know what? Out of courtesy, I'll call an ambulance for you. And then Kevin's going to jump in the, apparently.
Yeah. Kevin, the chair.
I heard it's going to be called A Math Game with Kevin Trask.
A little arithmetic on the show with Kev. I'll be good. Matt Brown, kind enough to join us a little later on, talk about his NFL picks. And Chris Velika, the Bear, who I think wants to destroy me on the comeback player of the year. I think that's what he wants to destroy me on.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You don't think Gino's going to get
fight words. I better get popcorn.
You know what? Just for that, we're going to make the pro tip all about that. The pro tip of the hour, because we failed to do one last hour, is don't be a prisoner of the moment. Don't do that. Just because the Seahawks aren't playing well right now doesn't mean fading Gino in comeback player of the year is a good bet. Now, would I bet Gino at this point? No, because the number's prohibitive. I wouldn't do that either. But like, I wouldn't race to think that all of a sudden he's not going to be the comeback player of the year for so many of the reasons we said earlier, because it's just the story that I think most voters will still gravitate towards in terms of being the best one. Yes, Christian McCaffrey is deserving, but Geno's story is that much more compelling. At least I think so. Don't be the prisoner of the moment. Don't think it's such a great bet. That's your pro tip for the hour. You shouldn't be a prisoner of the moment in anything betting-wise. We're all guilty of it from time to time. Just try to think it through. We do one every hour on VSiN across every show, so that means at least 20 every day. They're all available for VSiN Pro subscribers only at VSiN.com, where you can sort them by sport and by show. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from the angriest guy in New Jersey, Kelly. We haven't heard from him in a while. At least today we haven't. He said, Gil, have the dude from Right Angle blurt out five games real fast so the books just shut down. All right, maybe we'll have him. Michael Craig joins us from Right Angle Sports, everybody. How you doing, Michael?
I'm doing well. How about you, Gil?
I'm good. You want to blurt out five games real quick and just have all books shut down? You ever do that just for giggles?
We'll stay away from that strategy.
Yeah, probably not. You know, listener suggestions. Well, have him blurt out five games. Okay. So let's review how this works for those who are just landing on us for the first time, which is Michael is going to give us a rotation number in college basketball. Associated with that rotation number, either going to be a side or a total, and he will give us about 30 seconds to find that and put it in your bet slip. Do not bet it yet, though. Just have it ready to go. Then Michael will tell us go or cancel. If he says cancel, we'll do it all over again. He'll give us another rotation number, another side or total. Until he says the word go, that's the only time we make the wager. All right, so those are the ground rules. Michael, you want to start with a rotation number? I'm going to get my book out here as well.
Yeah, sure. 873. We're going to do a side today. 873, Delaware plus 7.
873. And what's the bet again?
Delaware plus 7.
Delaware again. Plus 7.
Yeah, we're only going to do 30 seconds today for the setup because it's a short card, so it should be easy to find and get in your book here.
Yes, that is correct. It is a very short basketball card, right. Everybody.
So about 10 seconds here, about 10 seconds, and we'll let you know. Okay, this play is going to be a cancel.
Oh, cancel!
Kelly, cancel!
Trauma. We haven't done that since the first time.
Get it off the bet slip.
All right, get it off. We don't care about that game. Hope nobody bet it. All right. By the way, we could do this for the whole segment. Just go like angriest guy in New Jersey suggested. We'll do five of these.
You gave me enough time this time to do that. Yeah. So.
All right. What's the new rotation number?
Let's go with the next one. 886. Cal Poly minus 4.
886. Cal Poly minus 4. 886. Cal Poly minus 4. They're taking on Weber State. Most famous guy to come out of Weber State, Kelly, is?
No idea. Damian Lillard.
There you go, Dame. Yeah.
That would be your last game on the card tonight. That might make it even easier for people out there.
Okay.
Last game in the rotation. All right, about 5 more seconds here. And this one is going to be a go. So go ahead and bet.
Go, everybody. 886 Cal Poly. It's a go. While everybody's making that wager, Michael, tell us why that is a bet for you.
So just looking at KenPom, KenPom has this game -7. I think we all know the books pretty much copy KenPom. So this was out here at 4. I think preseason, if you look at preseason ratings, Weber's fallen quite a bit and Pauly's went up. So you'd probably have -1.5, -2 if they played the first night of the season, somewhere in that range. So I guess you say to yourself, like, is this justified at 4? And Weber's really been bad this year. Their scores don't look good, but even if you look at their first halves, they were down 31-15 to Cal Baptist, 40-28 to Utah Tech, 52-32 against Wright State, 50-31 against Cal Riverside. So a lot of these teams are pulling off late game, and Weber's got real turnover issues. They lost their top three players from last year, lost a longtime coach. They did hire an assistant from the same staff, but there seems to be a drop off there as well. So we have that on the Weber side, some real turnover issues too. On the Pauly side, they returned most of their guys, playing really well. I have a transfer that's taken away minutes from one of their main contributors last year, and it looks like their jump from, I don't know, they're probably a point and a half, 2 points, 2.5 points better than they were preseason, and I think that's justified as well too. So really, just a power rating thing where we think the KenPom numbers correct at 7, and the 4 seemed short to us.
All right, how high? Because I'm seeing 5.5 already here. How high should we go before we tell people don't bet this?
5 at the most. I wouldn't like
that. There are 5 still. There are 5 still.
Okay, I'll see.
They're disappearing quick, though. They're disappearing.
All right, Michael, I hesitate to ask you this, but is there anything you want to promote from Right Angle Sports real quick?
Yeah, sure. We started up a YouTube channel, so Adam Chernoff actually did a free pick release there yesterday.
Oh, nice.
So we're in between phases for the service, so we got through phase 1 and phase 2 of our basketball service. Not sure when phase 3 is going to come out, but in the meantime, we're going to give away some plays at YouTube, so you can check our channel there. Also start a podcast, so Eddie Walls and I and Adam actually recorded a bowl podcast yesterday. So that's up. You can check that out. Just it's all the bowls through December 26th. So through, I believe, New Mexico State and Bowling Green. So we have that too. And then our prop service. We've talked about that on here before. We actually made that free. It's kind of been a wild experience for us. We've got a lot of plays, a lot of confidence in the plays we're putting out there. We just really weren't happy with the release methodology, and it's kind of a new market for us. So we're relying on the guys we hired to guide us through that a little bit, but weren't really happy with the release methodology, and we're trying to find a balance between the time sensitive plays and how we're going to get those plays out to customers or future subscribers. So currently we're just having those guys post some free stuff on our Discord. So yeah, if you're interested in props, you can check out our Discord channel and okay. We've got some stuff going on there. So yeah, that's about it.
Can I ask you, is there a bowl you like today or tomorrow, particularly bowl game?
I played some Miami Ohio +11. I didn't look at the number today. It was 10.5, 11 yesterday. So I did play some +11 there. Miami, it's, you know, low total, higher spread. Miami Ohio's run based now without Gabbert against probably the weakness of the UAB team is the run defense. And then we've got a situation with the coaching staff at UAB where they hired Trent Dilfer, which was not a popular choice amongst the players. So I think there's probably some motivational issues there as well. So,
okay. All right. We like it.
I love taking double digits in bowls. Bowls are such like a motivational thing. That's really the I don't want to say you totally throw math out the window, but certainly more interested in who's sitting out and who's motivated to play, who's happy to be there versus the Alabamas of the world who probably have no interest in a non-playoff type game.
Yeah, and that game starts in 20 minutes, by the way. Bowl season kicks off in 20 minutes, so everybody jump on that if you like what Mike had to say, Miami of Ohio catching 11.5. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks, Gil. Take care.
Michael Craig, always great to see Philly Mike. Love that dude. All right, Kelly.
Love watching the board here. Love watching the board.
It's amazing.
William Hill Caesar still holding strong at five. So at least here in Nevada.
Right. Okay.
I can't speak for, I guess, the rest of the nation, but at least here in Nevada, we are holding five at Caesar's William Hill. We got Westgate 6, Circa 5.5, MGM 5.5, South Point 6, DraftKings 5.5. Boyd just went off the board. Station 6. A couple offshore shops look like they are all pretty much 5.5.
Did we do that? We did. Well, Michael did it. Right Angle Sports did it. Kelly, you want 90 seconds to vent?
Yeah, sure. How about the Pelicans? Two rough losses this week. Yeah, that was pretty brutal into overtime. If you didn't have any money on the game last night, it was a great game to watch. But if you did, it really sucked. I don't know why Jonas Valanciunas was on the bench in overtime and stupid Gumby man Walker Kessler was dominating everything down low for the Utah Jazz. It was pretty infuriating to watch, Gil. But, yeah, we'll take an 0-2 week on the Pelicans. I had some pretty big bets this week on them, so that was pretty painful. We're going to try to bounce back, though, a little bit today. I did take a smaller bet on the Magic, plus 13.5 in Beantown. Against the Celtics. Robert Williams expected back tonight. I did just see Marcus Smart, though, pop up as questionable. Yeah, a frustrating week, but only two bets so far this week in the NBA. So they were both went 0-2, both on the Pelicans. Reminder, though, went 4-0 last Friday, Gil. So let's keep the Friday fun rolling. 6-0 over the past two Fridays.
I'm glad you got over that loss yesterday.
Furious. I'm still fuming.
You like how...
Like, the rage is pumping through my veins still.
They go easy on you on Twitter last night with it?
Yeah, some people. You know, some people.
Jazz are their kryptonite, man. Feels that way.
Walker Kessler is killing me. Oh, my God.
Chris Velika destroys me next on the Comeback Player of the Year Award. At least that's what he's promising. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
College bowl season is about to kick off, and when I say about, I'm talking 15 minutes. VSiN has you covered with this year's college football bowl guide. This year's guide has picks on the spread and totals of every bowl game. From VSiN experts, Brent Musburger is in there, Steve Mackinnon with his power rankings for every team, and breaks down the motivational factors that affect bowl games. Josh Applebaum, Benita. Give insight into bowl betting strategy. Adam Burke can help give you an advantage if you're part of bowl confidence pools. Give yourself an edge. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to check out the College Football Bowl Betting Guide. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Ladies and gentlemen, he's one of our favorite people, or at least he was, but now he's on Fox, not on ESPN, and, well, he's changed. So much so that now he's on Skype, which is a positive development, and we actually get to see him. He's the Bear. He's Chris Velika. How you doing, Chris? Look at you.
That's very nice. I'm literally coming right off of my red eye. I mean, it feels like, what, 8 hours ago, I'm hanging with Al and Kirk and Kaylee and Carissa and the gang there, and now here I am. Up staring at you. So,
sounds like an upgrade to me, Chris.
Staring at you, he said.
Yeah, the crazy thing is, like, it's like I don't think I've really used Skype since like 2010 when I was in South Africa for World Cup and I was using it to communicate with my wife every day. So I'm like, FaceTime me. FaceTime is fine. Skype's like so 2010.
Is that a shot at the network? Well,
our studio
was that
so
right
2010.
Yeah,
Chris.
What was that right there, Chris?
Well, that's a you problem, not a me problem. you know what's funny? What's funny though is I'm sitting here and I'm thinking back. You never know what you're gonna like think about when you're listening to a numbers game and guests and conversations that come up. And it's just weird because the other day, when you had Jason Weingarten on, he was kind of going in a direction that caused me to like, but like what he was talking about, it made me stop and think because it's like, it's weird how you have these connections to certain events in life and such, because like the only reason anybody would know the name of the town where I'm from, East Mauritius, Long Island,
yes,
is because of TWA 800. So it's just weird how like Jason brings up something and, yeah, and it just kind of stirs my mind and goes in a weird direction. So
yeah,
you never know what you're going to get when you listen to a numbers game.
For those who don't know what Chris is referring to, we had a five second bit of awkwardness, shall we say, on Wednesday, where we quickly moved along from a subject that Jason wanted to talk about. Yes, that is correct. Would you say that's accurate, Kelly?
Yeah.
Moved
I would say
along.
You did a pretty good job.
But it's good of Chris to bring it back up here on a Friday for sure. Yes. He was talking about something that's on his podcast. If you want more, go to The Wide World of Weingarten. By the way, I love the shadow on the side of your face. Looks like you're like a comic book villain. It's awesome.
Yeah, I got it. I'm trying to fix the light, because if I put the the flying saucer light above my head, and that would probably be even worse.
Before we get to before we get to your college football bowl thoughts here today, tomorrow, and beyond, you wanted to destroy me on comeback player of the year. Is that true? Is that accurate?
Well, yeah, I just want to, like, are we really going to give this thing to Geno Smith, who is, what, like, minus $9?
Well, not minus nine. He shouldn't be that, but you should get, but he's still going to get it, I think.
What is he coming back from, though? That's the thing.
Sucking.
Oh, okay, and Christian McCaffrey's coming back from an injury riddled season. Saquon Barkley is coming back from a major injury. Jason's guy Nick Gates is coming back from a major injury as well.
Yes,
but like if you like, you're really going to give this to Geno, who's really not coming back from anything, over a guy, over the way they're not going to make the playoffs, and he hasn't been great lately. He had a pick six called back yesterday due to a terrible roughing the passer call.
So bad.
So it's like, with the way the Niners are going, since they haven't lost since McCaffrey's gotten there, like, we're really going to, like, give this to Geno? I don't know, man.
Well, I wouldn't bet Geno now. That's a distinction, right? I wouldn't bet him now. But I also wouldn't race to bet McCaffrey, is what I'm saying, because I still think most of those voters are going to use our buddy Will Hill's word, they're going to be more drawn to the redemptive story than they are the literal definition of comeback. That's the issue.
What's redemptive about a team that's going to finish 7-9 or 7-10 or 8-9 and miss out in the playoffs?
It's redemptive.
I don't know.
It's redemptive because people made fun of Geno, right? Like, they thought he sucked and he's just the worst. And now he's number one in completion percentage. They're still in the playoff hunt. I get it. They're 7-7. I hear you on that. I'm just saying, human beings are human beings, and they're going to vote how they want to vote, and I still think that's where most brains go, yeah.
Well, you and I have had great wagers on futures and bets that we have made that we were banking on maybe the...
Did we lose Chris? Oh, we'll have to get Chris back. We'll go right into his bowl picks, because we want to get his thoughts here on this game that's coming up here in 10 minutes. That's what happens when Chris gets his Skype on. So what happens, Kelly?
Oh, yep.
Just falls off a cliff like that. Okay, well, I don't know that just to give a judge's, I'm going to judge what just happened. He did not destroy me. Can we establish that?
The comeback player of the year thing is so tough because I get it. I get why everybody gets frustrated by this award. And it's one of those, look, maybe you just shouldn't be betting it is what I always come back to if we get upset about these things, but it's Ryan Tannehill ruined this award, right? In 2019, when he won it with the Titans, he was coming back. He was coming back from sucking with the Dolphins and being traded away, and was on the bench and took over for Mariota and won that award. And the problem is now it's set a precedent that you can include players like this in every year going forward.
Yeah, for sure. We get Chris back? No. Yeah. Okay.
No, not yet.
By the way, you went through your Pelicans thing. You're fine on that.
Yeah, whatever. Just it is
whatever.
And they were bigger bets for me, so it was. You know, I think I've had a nice week going the past week, but that was give it all back in those two games. You know,
you know what I didn't say about our segment earlier about the college football picking the winners. If you beat me on that, that is a real embarrassment to me.
Let's go.
Real embarrassment on that.
Oh yeah, yeah. Let's get the flex on camera. There we go. Okay. Flex on you
now,
bro.
I'm thinking about it because you know. You're all over the place. You don't even know what a double-digit dog is. You're, like, picking them as winners. If you win this, I am. Maybe I should do college football guessing lines next
gonna
year.
It's going to be a lot of fun to track over the next 2 weeks. That's for sure. Because I feel like there's going to be a long series of X's down some of my graphics for a bit.
Oh, man. That could be a shameful thing. All right, and then just to sort of review again, so I bet the Jets, and then right after I bet them, soon after I bet them, it's Zach Wilson, in case you missed the biggest story of the morning. Zach Wilson is the start, and Mike White not cleared for contact. So the Jets, so that line moved this morning, and appropriately so, quite frankly, from the Jets being a slight favorite to the Lions being a slight favorite. It has all kinds of playoff implications. Zach Wilson with a chance to, you know, seize the reins of his career once again, and it might be his last shot. Certainly in a Jets uniform, it could be his last shot. So it'll be Zach Wilson against the Lions with huge implications. Chris Felica's back with us, ladies and gentlemen. How about that? From ESPN. When is the Stanford Steve Bear final College Bowl podcast available, Chris?
Yes, available, Chris.
Well, maybe we don't have him back. By the way, I think I know the answer to that question. Felica and Stanford Steve, the Stanford Steve and the Bear podcast, will have its final episode on Wednesday for the rest of College Bowl season.
I did hear it promoted yesterday.
Yeah, so they are skipping. Skipping through the bowls today and the bowls tomorrow, and the bowls up until that day. But starting Wednesday, that's when you'll have that final episode available. Because I know people are anxious to hear that podcast one more time. Who will he replace Stanford Steve with come in the Fox days? I don't know. That's anybody's
guess.
Yeah,
that'll be interesting.
Yeah. So getting back to the point, I kind of don't like my Jets bet anymore,
yeah.
Kelly. Quite frankly.
I was going to make it too, probably at some point today before that news came across.
I'm a little shaky, obviously, on anytime you're laying a bunch of points against any team in the NFL, you're always shaky. So the Eagles one, I don't like that much either. The other three, I still do like, though. I like the Bengals -4. By the way, the Megapod, we do the Megapod every Thursday. We had Cleve T.A. on there yesterday, Jeff Parles and Todd Wishnev. Jeff and I were oppo on the Dolphins-Bills. He has the Bills, I have the Dolphins,
okay,
against the number. T.A. and I, Cleve T.A. and I, were opposite on the Bengals and the Bucks. He took the Bucks plus the points. And had I gone to the Eagles as one of my top three, which I didn't, I would have been opposite Todd, who took the Bears. Now, for those who missed it, the Beating the Book Megapod, each and every Thursday on the Beating the Book podcast feed, Jeff, Todd, and I, three picks, three best bets a week, we're all 24-18, three-way tie, headed in to the final weeks of the NFL season. So 24-18, the guest chair is 22-20.
That's incredible. It's incredible that you're all tied.
It's amazing. And we all got there different ways. Right. I was way ahead, then I gave a whole bunch back because the Plinko chip hates me of late.
The one, the other game that I'm seeing move a little bit here this morning, they're going to do it to me again, Gil. They're going to do it to me again. I'm mad today. I might be furious on Monday.
You feel a little edgy today.
Vikings dropping down to 3.5 almost across the board. Like, if that hits 3, I gotta do it. I gotta do it.
Kelly Bidlin on edge this morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Getting tempted by another Vikings bet at 3. Well, the Skype experiment with Chris, how can I put this? Didn't go so well, Kelly. Didn't go so well.
Phone too, I guess.
Matt Brown, he's always buttoned up. We'll get his NFL picks next, and we'll see if we can get Chris's thoughts on this bowl game here right after the break, right before kickoff, so you can get in any thoughts or bets based on those thoughts. Next, Numbers Game VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN is the gift that keeps on giving. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber for only $79. Get access to everything we do from now through the big dance. Sign up today. You'll also receive $20 to buy VSiN sports betting hats, shirts, mugs, and other great gear at our online store. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays, though, made by VSiN show hosts and guests. Tools like our betting splits that let you see where the money and bets are moving every game. Deep dive betting reports, plus our ongoing College Bowl coverage with best bets on every bowl game. It's a limited time offer, so sign up now for the perfect sports betting holiday gift and get VSiN Pro access through the end of March Madness at VSiN.com/subscribe. By the way, Chris Felica had no thoughts on this bowl game that's about to happen right here. But remember that Michael Craig from Right Angle Sports loved Miami of Ohio plus the points. So if that was compelling to you, hopefully you got in on that wager. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Joe Pita, our guest, reacting to Circus Sports. So Circus Sports putting up to go to overtime or end in a tie prop on the game last night. Joe Pita commenting, this is why Circa's the best. They listen to customers and obviously a numbers game on VSiN and offer a requested product. They offered a requested product. I traipsed all over Reno last year and couldn't get one shop to offer me a tie prop. Let me buy a half point off the money line. So shout out to Circa Sports. Ray Buchholz. Where is Dr. Bob? Dr. Bob couldn't make it today. What was Dr. Bob's excuse, Kelly? What was his deal? What's his story?
He said he didn't have any really strong leans this week.
Okay.
Plays this week.
Well, there you go. It's very honest. Not going to make
it that much.
Everybody commenting on how much the line was moved by Right Angle Sports, SoCal Fantasy. Did we all forget about Saquon Barkley missing all of last year? He's come back, quote-unquote, with over 1,000 yards and fourth highest rusher this season. In parentheses, also, I may have an investment here. I don't buy into Saquon winning this award at all.
While we're making requests, yes. Circa, if we can get more finishing positions on golf for this season, that would be great. I'd really appreciate it.
It's our chance to just make requests.
Official request.
Kansas Barstool moving, according to Vegas TR, on our play as well. All the books moving on that. And people commenting still on the Joe Pita segment from the other day. This is from Keno Walker. Good morning. He's talking about Mike's props as well. Anybody, all kinds of reactions. Chance Copperpot. I lost my father a few months ago, and my mother joined him yesterday. I'd like to thank you for creating content that is intelligent and humorous. Your actionable info keeps me thinking and my mind occupied, which is a gift. Thanks to everyone. Chance, our deepest condolences. Thanks for being such a loyal listener all this time on this tough day for you. Matt Brown joins us, ladies and gentlemen. He is the co-host of the Final Countdown here at VSiN, weekdays, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. He does it with Stormy Bonatoni, and interestingly, was our toughest guest to get this week, even though we know him the best. What say you, Matt Brown?
Just confirm, I guess,
what,
yeah.
What kind of this what is this diva attitude you have? What's going on with you?
Your tweets are just much nicer than mine. Do you want to hear one that I got yesterday?
Yes, please.
poor Stormy has to deal with that loser Matt Brown. You can tell Stormy hates. You can tell Stormy hates doing a show with that dude. He's so cringy. Yours are much nicer than the ones that come through for me.
Oh, they're very honest, these people.
I got a few unnice ones yesterday too, Matt. That's cool.
Oh man. All right, Matt, it's week 15. I'm very curious to find out where you land on some of these games, because I was mentioning before the break on the Megapod, it was an oppo fest. Like, people had all kinds of different opinions, so maybe you'll be a sort of a tiebreaker here in terms of how I feel about these. What do you got going?
I made a bunch of bets this week. It's probably the most I've made all season, and I made them all on Sunday or Monday.
Wow.
Like, they were all very early. And some were speculative, some went my way, some didn't. We shall see. First one, just starting out on Saturday, I think we're kind of buying in on the lowest point of the Vikings. Like, it was a pretty good opportunity last week to know you don't really play this Vikings team against high-powered offenses, and the Lions certainly indoors fit that mold. And so you kind of just kind of pass by them in that game. And then now, here you get to buy in at a 3.5 against a Colts team that is just, you know, absolutely pathetic. Lame duck coaching staff. Lame duck quarterback. We know that they're going to be completely rehauling everything there. And by the way, this isn't one of those teams that can exploit the bad secondary and the bad, I should even say more, just bad game plan that the Vikings have from a pass defense standpoint. And so I think there's a couple of these teams we've started to kind of figure out a blueprint on, and the Vikings being one of them. High-powered offense that can pass on them. You might want to pass that week. If you get a team like the Colts coming in and you get a pretty short number, that you kind of buy in. And so that's where I am on the Vikings in that one.
Kelly's betting the Vikings.
Yeah. I tied him into a I just did a money line parlay with the Bills, Matt. But I'm seeing more of these books tick back to 3.5 here this morning. I don't know. If a three shows, I'll be in.
It'll be all over it.
Be back in.
All right.
Seventh straight week or whatever it is now.
I'm sure you heard the Mike White news this morning. Zach Wilson,
yes.
Now the quarterback of the Jets. You had already made a Jets-Lions underbet at 47, I would imagine this development makes you a little happier even?
Oh, makes me, yes, ecstatic. Yeah. So the I just thought that the number opening at 47 was too high to begin with. With the Lions kind of going out of the dome environment, going outdoors, going into cold weather situation, we know about golf outdoors, et cetera, et cetera. And honestly, this offense is just so awesome, and it's built for the fast track and all that. Then you go up against a Jets defense that is a pretty big step up as well from the defenses that the Lions have played the last few weeks. So I thought it was just a pretty good opportunity anyway to come in on the under. The Mike White stuff just really is the cherry on top. We know whenever we take a look at what this Jets team is with and without these guys, and, you know, whether it's all a smoke and mirrors of Mike White, I don't know. But what we do know is 420 yards of offense with White, 287 yards of offense with Wilson, you know? And so, I mean, it's one of those things where, again, it might be smoke and mirrors. Maybe all the shine will wear off of White at some point, but as long as Wilson's in there, I still think that number, maybe as long as you at 44 might even still be too high.
So that's where I actually, that's how I bet it, Matt. As soon as that news came across, I actually went under the 44. I see 144 and a half out there still, but it's mainly 43 and a half, 44.
I mean, we talk about teams that get, you know, just hurt by injury. Everybody, injuries are part of the game, but some teams get the worst of that injury luck. The Chargers, pretty bad injury luck once again, but boy, the Jets, you could make the case that the Jets have gotten the absolute worst of that this year. What could be, what could have been, we may be saying, come 3-4 weeks from now. All right, you like the Browns. You're laying the Browns. You're laying the points with the Browns. I guess this is more of a fade of the Ravens more than anything.
Yeah, and this is one of those deals where, like I said, I made it early in the week. Some speculation here. I thought there was at least a 50-50 chance we were going to get Brown starting at quarterback for the Ravens as opposed to Huntley. And I was like, okay, under a field goal, this thing's definitely going to go to the other side of a field goal if this is going to be Brown instead of Huntley. Didn't end up being the case. I don't hate the ticket. I don't really love it, you know, as much right now with all of that. So this is one of those, like, sometimes, you know, hey, it's almost as if we gamble sometimes in this skill.
It's almost as if we do. Witness my Jets bet last night.
That was one of the under the radar kind of weird stories of the week, though. I mean, like Tyler Huntley, like, it was, like Matt's saying, like, when the openers came out and into Monday even, it was, well, I thought it was less than a 50% chance he was going to play. And then all of a sudden, that turned on a dime.
Like concussion in a short, you know, a not short week from a traditional standpoint of a Thursday game, but a Saturday game, like a concussion in a short week. And like, and yeah, him automatic, then getting cleared a couple days in advance was a shocker to me. And, you know, hey, it's a lesson learned for me moving forward. I thought it was, you know, pretty unlikely that he'd go, but hey, you know, it is what it is. We move on.
That's the issue with concussion protocol. And like, you know, the doubtful or questionable of other injuries, it's either it is or it isn't with concussions. Mm-hmm. Right. So, all right. So real quick, we got three more. You are taking the Chargers, laying the points here as well.
One of those teams, like I said, that I think that we've kind of figured out from a blueprint standpoint is this Titans team. And if you just abandon the run, you line up and you throw every single down against them and they can't defend the pass. And so if you have a team that can move the ball through the air, I think as long as the number makes sense, you kind of bet on them against this Titans team. And the Chargers, we saw last week, finally, with Williams and Eckler and Allen on the field all at the same time. It's this team we kind of loved that we thought we were going to get coming into this season. It's the first time they played together since week one, guys. Remember, Keenan Allen got hurt in week one. And so it was like, it finally was that Chargers offense that we thought we might get this season. They're going to be able to pass all over the Titans in this game.
All right, Kelly and I both on Cincinnati. You're on Cincinnati as well.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, look, this is, guys, this is the game. It is the GOAT versus Tom Brady. And so this is going to be, this is where we're going to cement the legacy of Jesus H. Burrow in this game. I mean, listen, honestly, this thing would be further out and it might end up being whenever we get official confirmation that one of these two wide receivers is actually going to play, or maybe even both. When I'm talking about Boyd and Higgins here, I think that's the only reason we're sitting at 3.5. A very influential book in a faraway place has already moved to 4 in this one. If that tells you anything, is where this line might actually end up moving. So yes, I think the 3.5 is where we should be on Cincinnati.
And the last one is Green Bay shouldn't be favored by this much against anybody.
Basic handicap. Yeah. Yes. In a game with a you know, a microscopic 39 total, and they're going to be playing in 12 degrees. Oh. That's not even real 12 degrees, and that's what they're going to be playing in.
That's Fahrenheit, by the way.
Yes.
Not Celsius, not Kelvin.
Feels like 12 it's degrees Fahrenheit outside right now.
Matt Brown, ladies and gentlemen, co-host of the Final Countdown with Stormy Bonatoni, who apparently, according to Twitter, doesn't like Matt at all. So that should be fun.
Cringiest guy at Visa.
Confirmed. 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you, guys. Good luck.
We'll revisit the Chris Felica experience on the other side. See if it goes a little better. Bold thoughts next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets. It's never been easier to join the action on the new BetMGM app, featuring a fresh redesign with improved features and quicker navigation. And if you're planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM resorts located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards, sports betting's premier loyalty program, including exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks. When you wager with BetMGM, sign up with BetMGM or log in today to take advantage of BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions do apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. We were unable to reconnect with the great Christopher Felica. As my dad would say, you call this a segment? It's a segment like I'm a segment.
He offered bringing to do it full segment via Morse code.
Yeah, we can't do that.
You know why I do that?
No.
I think it would make for good radio.
Yeah. Thankfully, we have a fill-in, ladies and gentlemen, and his name is Adam Burke, taking over his rightful spot Fridays here at the very end of the show. Our own Adam Burke. How you doing, man?
Good. Good to be here. Sorry I'm not Chris Felica.
No.
I'm here.
Our strategy was
I could have did it by carrier pigeon if you wanted me to.
We were going to do
carrier pigeon. That would have been even better. Burke won up to me.
We're going
to
do 2 minutes of Felica and then 8 minutes with you. That's what we're going to do. That was the strategy. How you doing, man? You good?
Good. Everything's good.
You have
bowl season. I'm excited.
You have any bowl bets today?
Yeah, I did a small piece of UAB minus 11, so they're up 7-0. Hopefully that keeps going in front of a, we'll call it friends and family crowd
in
the Bahamas.
Seats are still available.
Plenty of seats.
You ever been to the Bahamas, by the way?
I have not. Actually, you know what? I have. When I was a kid, we took a cruise and spent maybe like 6 hours in the Bahamas and then don't even remember it.
I always think that's about, like, you know, when there's games in Hawaii or the Bahamas. Great. Like, I would love to go to the Bahamas or Hawaii. I wouldn't take time out of my day to go to a football game.
Well, I was just about to say, in my list of Bahamas things to do, going to a football game does not make the top 10.
You want to go see Miami of Ohio and UAB while you're on vacation?
No. Can you settle a bad beat thing for me once and for all?
Sure.
So, you know, everybody decided that the worst bad beat of all time was this Belk Bowl back in the day, right? The Duke game. And even like SVP, who we all love, you know, every sort of bad beat Hall of Fame measurement is based on that Belk Bowl. But the Bahamas Bowl, I still contend, and I'm going to get the year on this, but it was the Western Kentucky game against Central Michigan. And for those of us who had Western Kentucky that day, you cannot convince me that that was not the worst beat in the history of all beats. Western Kentucky, and I want to get the details right on this, and then I'd like you to settle which is the worst, which is the worst of the two. But Western Kentucky was up in that game. Here it is. December 24th, 2014. I remember where I was, San Francisco. I remember how far up I was in that game, which was, I want to say, 41. What was it? I want to get this exactly right. I'm botching this. But it was 49-14. No. Let me get this. 48-14. 48-14, Western Kentucky headed into the fourth quarter. Western Kentucky was laying 2.5. The fourth quarter score was Central Michigan 34, Western Kentucky nothing. And the last of those 34 points came with 1 second left on the clock on a ridiculously long touchdown. And then instead of pushing overtime, they went for two. So I was cooked. Which is the worst beat, I ask you?
I remember that one. That one's awful. I think that one's worse, to be totally honest with you. I know the Belk Bowl, maybe just because it was, you know, bigger teams gets all the credit. 2013 New Mexico Bowl was another one for me. I was on Washington State -4. They're up 15 with 3 minutes left and lost the game outright. So that was another good one. And then this year wasn't a bowl game, but that Utah State-Boise State game.
That was horrible.
Was awful.
That was horrible.
I was on Utah State in that. They could have won the game outright.
Utah State.
They didn't even cover 17.
Driving for the win, down 5 in Boise. Pick. You're still good because you're catching all those points. They score on like
91-yard
touchdown.
The quarterback had 91 rushing yards in the game on like 6 or 7 carries.
And then
he had a 91-yard touchdown.
And then a pick six.
And a pick six. You knew the pick six was coming.
Oh,
the second the 91-yard touchdown goes, you know the pick six is coming.
And it wasn't.
That's like I told you when we had lunch the other day. I'm like, maybe we're the idiots for spending our money on this.
Well, this is an existential question, Adam, that maybe we should ponder a little more. All right, what are your other favorite bowl bets?
Well, I got the over in this Troy-UTSA game. This one's actually moved up to 57. I had 55.5 on it. Troy's got a really, really exceptional defense. They're top 10 in the country scoring defense and yards per play. But they haven't played a top 20 offense in yards per play since late October, or early October, actually, when they played Western Kentucky. That was a 34-27 game. UTSA can move the football. Their defense is very suspect. Happy to see this total going up, actually, because it seems like maybe I'm on the right side of it. But over 55.5 was the other one that I had for today. And if you want, we can roll into a few others.
Oh, please. Absolutely.
I'll just steal the show. It's fine.
No, go ahead.
You've been doing it for almost 2 hours already anyway.
That's right.
You're probably ready to pass the baton.
I'm done for the day. That's right.
I hate to do this with our program director, John Goulet, in the room, but I actually laid the 10 with Marshall, which seems like kind of a strange bet to make, right? But Marshall, second in the country in yards per carry allowed. They're a top 10-ish type of defense in terms of yards per play as well. UConn has to run the football to be effective. They absolutely have to be able to do that. I don't know if they can do that here against Marshall. And something else, too, I'm not a betting splits guy. I don't really concern myself with anything like that.
How dare you?
But I think it is really interesting. This line has not gone under 10, even though I don't think many people are lining up to bet on Marshall.
Yeah.
So maybe it goes under 10 by the time kickoff rolls around, but I laid the 10 with Marshall here. I think that, you know, UConn, it's just a bad matchup for them because they're so run heavy.
I think that's a bad bet. Someone on this show said UConn was going to win outright in this game.
It's a whole story from earlier. UConn dead last in the nation in yards per completion. Turned over the ball twice or more in 7 games. Marshall, who, of course, we remember beat Notre Dame, then came back and lost to Bowling Green, which was a strange little 2-week thing. They closed out 4-0. Their run defense, 5th in the nation, allowing just 88 yards per game. Marshall, number 1 in the nation, third down stops.
Thank you.
All that corroboration.
I appreciate the supporting
welcome.
Evidence.
As opposed to Kelly
you're
going to
join
UConn
me in the Marshall minus 10 pool?
I think I will be.
All right.
Yeah.
It's not my fault if it loses, though.
No.
I got a breakdown. UConn's going to have to run the ball well to succeed in this game, Gil. They've got to do it. That's all I got.
Oh, that sounds familiar.
I heard that from someone else who was on the show.
Boy. All right. What else do you like here besides this?
So this
Goulet is very mad at you right now.
I know.
By the way.
He's just staring daggers through me.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm surprised this total is going up here between Air Force and Baylor. This one's up to 49 out there across most of the market. There's 48.5s out there as well. But look, I know that service academies are great in bowl games. I don't know if Felica was on the line long enough to mention that or not.
Yeah,
but
no.
I think they're 13-3 ATS in the last 16 bowl games for service academies. But I think Baylor, they want to be physical and run the football, too. I think this is a game that has a lot of running plays, a lot of long, sustained possessions. If I get a red zone turnover or something like that, I'll be thrilled. But I like the under 49 in this one, where I don't really see a whole lot of passing in this game. The thing about service academies, and it hasn't hurt them in bowls yet, they're typically very undersized on defense. And we saw Baylor push TCU around for the majority of that game. So I think Baylor, I don't know if they win and cover, but I think that this one does stay under 49.
Okay. And if I said to you, what's your very favorite of all the bowl games? Have you mentioned it yet?
Favorite bet or just favorite one to watch?
Favorite bet. I don't care about what you want to watch.
You should.
Your favorite bet.
You should care about what I want to watch.
What are you going to be watching at 5:46 tomorrow?
That's right.
I'm going to be re-watching the Bahamas Bowl. That's what I'm going to be doing. No, honestly, I would say that my favorite bowl bet here is, man, it's tough because so many of these numbers have moved, and that's something that's a big talking point.
It is a tough thing to answer.
It really is a tough thing to answer. I still think even with the substantial move in this Fresno State-Washington State game, Fresno State minus 4, I think, is still a good number.
I mean,
Jake Haener, his last college game, he's trying to impress the NFL scouts as much as he can. Jalen Moreno-Cropper is going to be an NFL wide receiver here next year as well. But Washington State, mass exodus of transfers and opt-outs. They're going to be missing all 3 of their starting linebackers.
Both their coordinators
are gone.
Just gave up 700 yards to UW.
Right, gave up a million yards in that game to Michael Penix. Fresno State, this may be one of those games, and we talked about this on the College Football Podcast with Matt Humans yesterday, which make sure you go download that.
Good plug.
This sort of feels like the Western Michigan-Nevada game last year. We're just every number one very easily for the Broncos. I think that'll be the case here for Fresno State in the L.A. Bowl, the Jimmy Kimmel
the
Presents
Jimmy
L.A.
Kimmel
Bowl.
Presents, yes, L.A. Bowl. You remember when they used to like do the http://insight.com bowl when they used to do that?
I do.
Favorite NFL bets of the week in 30 seconds, sir.
30 seconds. That's quick. Well, I like the Steelers a little bit here this week. Carolina, I mean, I give them credit for running the football as effectively as they have, but they still have significant issues at the quarterback position. Pittsburgh does too, but, you know, Pittsburgh is a pretty decent defense, I think. I just feel like, you know, getting points with the Steelers isn't really a bad bet. The other one here is, this one may be a little bit surprising, but I think Titans Chargers under. You know, the Chargers are putting up a bunch of yards and they're not converting it into points. They're one of the worst red zone offenses in the NFL. I think that continues here against the Titans. So I took this one under 47.
Thank you, Adam. Adam Burke, everybody. Appreciate it. Pro tip of the hour. Make sure to check the weather report, especially in the NFL this weekend. Buffalo, Cleveland could be big snow spots. It's that time of year. It's your pro tip for the hour. We do one every hour on VSiN across every show, so that means at least 20 every day, all available for VSiN Pro subscribers only at VSiN.com, where you can sort them by sport and by show. Good luck with all your bets this weekend. The Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.